In 1860, Frédéric Boucheron created his first lace-inspired jewels. 10 years later, diamond ribbon bows appeared in his creations. Then came the gold meshwork fabrics, cords, and tassels of gold trimmings. In this podcast, I invite you to discover the many links between the world of ceremonial attire and Maison Boucheron. Vincent Mélan, Boucheron, True Stories. Silks, Diamonds, and Frédéric Boucheron. In childhood, Frédéric Boucheron was surrounded by a world of lace, silk, ribbons, and precious fabrics. In 1817, his father Louis opened a ribbon and fabric shop at 247 Rue Saint-Honoré in Paris. A simple haberdasher, Louis Boucheron discovered his passion for rare fabrics and eventually specialized in silk. In 1832, 2 years after the birth of his son Frédéric, Louis Boucheron opened a new shop at 18 Rue des Fossés Saint-Germain-l'Auxerrois, still in the Louvre district. Above the door was a simple sign, Boucheron Silks. As a teenager, Frédéric Boucheron discovered the thick and shiny satin, which was perfect for embroideries, the airy muslin, which made such beautiful ruffles, crepe, almost wrinkle-free, and perfect for wedding gowns. Silk thread lace was the treasure of this sensual and refined world. Three centuries earlier, women of Venice, who were a little bored when their husbands were at sea, had discovered this extremely delicate technique. Lace is neither sewing nor embroidery. It consists of tracing patterns in space without any support or framework, with an extremely fine silk or cotton thread. The patterns, linked together by stitches of the same thread, compose a garland of aerial motifs. Lace first arrived in Paris with the Italian princesses of the Renaissance, Catherine and Marie of Medici. King Louis XIV was crazy about it. All his ties were made of lace, while the cuffs of his shirts were lined with it. Colbert, the Sun King's Minister of Finance, was worried by the huge sums of money leaving the country to acquire lace abroad. That's why he launched lace production sites in France with success. At the beginning of the Second Empire, French lace production came to a climax with the Point d'Alençon, the Point de Chantilly, the Point de Bayeux, and the Point de Calais, which earned French lace fame all across the world. The most precious of all lace, the one which Louis Boucheron had made his specialty, was called blonde. It is made of a pale yellow silk thread, sometimes mixed with gold or silver thread. At that time, Paris was more than ever the capital of fashion. The Empress's Wedding Gown. Since Napoleon III and Countess Eugénie de Montijo's wedding ceremony on January 30, 1853, Paris had indeed returned to being the center of all frivolities. The details of the Empress' wedding gown at the Notre-Dame Cathedral were reported in newspapers all around the world. Her white velvet skirt was entirely covered in a large lace flounce. Her veil was held by a sapphire and diamond tiara. It fell in folds on her shoulders and on her diamond embroidered dress. Between the Tuileries Palace and the Boulevard, fashion boutique thrived. At the beginning of 1858, Charles Frédéric Vort, an Englishman who had spent his entire career in France, opened the Haute Couture Salon at No. 7 Rue de la Paix. Against all existing traditions in the couture world, he decided not to accept requests from his customers. Instead, he started designing gowns according to his own style. And this style changed from one year to the other, according to his taste. On that same year of 1858, Frédéric Boucheron, who was 28 years old, rented an arcade at the Palais Royal. There, he started manufacturing and selling jewelry and trading precious stones. A newcomer in the very closed work of jewelers, he chose to leave solemn jewels to his older colleagues. These jewels were often intended to show off the fortune of the man gifting them to his wife or his mistress. Frederick loved stones passionately, but he showcased them through an original style of jewelry, which he suggested to his clients. Also, what he had learned from his father's shop never left him. He loved the refined world of fabrics too much to abandon it while entering the jewelry business. Lace was the first of this fabric to inspire him. As soon as 1860, 2 years after opening his own boutique, he integrated lace patterns into his creations. The Boucheron archives preserve dozens of designs of bracelets with lace motifs, each more precious than the last. One of his most spectacular creations is a necklace, which seems inspired by the lace colors that 17th century queens of France sported in their portraits by Rubens. The jewel is shaped like a fan, and a diamond mesh seemed to have been sewn into space by an invisible thread. However, even after Frederick Boucheron's death in 1902, lace remained a decorative motif often used by his successors. For example, in May 1923, an order was made for a large jewelry bracelet, lace type, fitted, forming a cuff, snap clasp, platinum setting. Ribbons were another symbol from women outfits that served as an inspiration to Frederick Boucheron. Diamond ribbons. Ribbon suppleness allowed movement to be introduced into a hairstyle or onto a dress. In the form of a bow, with two, three, or four loops, ribbons were a perfect ornament. It is that same movement that Frederick Boucheron conveyed into jewelry. In 1884, a 159-carat sapphire was set on a diamond ball at the center of a necklace sold to the famous American billionaire Marie-Louise Mackay. A simple bow can also be the perfect pattern to create a brooch. However, the most extraordinary bow ever created by Frederick Boucheron was undoubtedly a devant corsage from 1893. It is made up of a single bow with 15 loops of decreasing sizes and ends with two hanging ribbons. Lace, ribbons, bows were designs which remain in jewelry well after the passing of Frederick Boucheron in 1902. In the early 20th century, the use of platinum became widespread in jewelry, making it possible to create increasingly fine and discreet settings. Thus, in the 1920s, the setting of certain diamond bracelets made by Boucheron was so flexible they were nicknamed ribbon bracelets. During the Belle Époque, the quality of the work of the Boucheron artisans allowed for another technical achievement. From ribbons or lace, Frederick Boucheron moved on to fabric itself. By working with extremely fine gold meshwork, his atelier managed to create a truly precious fabric. These strips of gold knitting were most often tied into scarves or ties around the neck of fashionable women. Their ends were always lined with diamond or pearl tassels. Grand Duke Vladimir of Russia, uncle of Tsar Nicholas II, bought one of these necklaces in 1883 for his wife, the Grand Duchess. This gold meshwork scarf is lined at its ends with diamonds and white and gray pearls. 4 years later, in 1887, politics shook the world of jewelry. The very young French Republic announced its intention to auction off the fabulous collection of jewelry and precious stones known as French crown jewels. These jewels had been accumulated over the centuries by French kings and emperors. The sale lasted for a whole week and took place at the Louvre Museum. Frederick Boucheron was one of the main buyers. Diamonds of the French crown. One of the most beautiful pieces presented at this auction was a large comb. It was set with big white diamonds surrounding an exceptional pink brilliant diamond. 9 diamonds aiguillettes hanged from this jewel. Aiguillettes, also called ferrets or tassels, are one of the classic motifs of French jewelry. In the 17th century, they were depicted on all portraits of queens, most often hanging as pendant from a necklace or on a belt. Thanks to French writer Alexandre Dumas, Ferré have entered both the history of jewelry and literature. The 12 diamond Ferré belonging to Queen Anne of Austria are at the heart of the plot of his famous historical novel, The Three Musketeers. In the 18th century, fashion changed and Ferré disappeared, only to come back stronger in the early 19th century in a masculine version on military uniforms. Napoleon I, probably the most famous of all French sovereigns, conquered Europe with his army. Medals and decorations were among the rewards he distributed to the bravest of his men. These medals were pinned on uniforms, embroidered with gold and adorned with gold thread cords, one of them wrapping around the shoulder. The other one ended with one or more golden aiguillettes hanging. This way, the weight of the aiguillette kept the hanging part of the cord straight. During the sale of the French crown jewels, Frédéric Boucheron bought one of the largest diamonds from the central aiguillette from the Empress's comb, a marquis cut stone which he made into a ring and offered to his wife, Gabrielle. Two more stones from this comb arrived at Boucheron in 1899. That same year, Frédéric had other diamonds from the same jewel mounted on a necklace. This was part of the wedding basket of the future Lady Harcourt, commissioned by her mother, Mrs. Burns. Since then, the aiguillette has remained an element of Boucheron's artistic heritage. It regularly comes back in the Maison's creations, according to fashion or to the desires of the creatives. Most often, it is simply in gold, but it is sometimes paved with diamonds or pearls. In the 1970s, aiguillette made a remarkable comeback on the occasion of a special order for necklaces, ear clips, and even cufflinks. The golden cords on which these aiguillettes were attached would be given by Boucheron an even more extraordinary destiny. The golden cord. To Frédéric Boucheron, gold cords were an original alternative to traditional chains. Showcased as single, double, or triple twists like trimmings or in braids, they became necklaces, bracelets, or long earrings. These gold cords were such a success that they were later also made available in materials even more precious than gold. During the Belle Époque, twists of pearl threads, to be tied several times around the neck, were called bayadere. This was, without a doubt, in reference to the Indian costumes sported by the dancers of the famous ballet La Bayadere. Then, in the 1960s, cords of turquoise beads, coral beads, or even amethyst beads would regularly come back throughout the Boucheron collections. Whether in gold or in precious stones, this cord could be embroidered directly on the neckline or the shoulder of a dress. This way, jewelry was back to its source of inspiration, fabric. Gold and silk, precious stones and silks, these materials coming together and merging, exactly like on Empress Eugenie's wedding gown in 1853. The embroideries on her dress were made of diamonds. The year 2024 marks a new step in the precious journey uniting couture and jewelry at Boucheron. The new Histoire de Style collection, called The Power of Couture and designed by Claire Schwann, explores these symbols which were so dear to Frédéric Boucheron.